This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Today, amen. And I always hope and pray that we can have mass participation, maximum participation. And one way that can happen, my brothers and sisters, is that if we all invite somebody, amen. I look at Family Day as an opportunity. Y'all know, those of you who are with us in Bible study, as we're going through the book of Acts in chapter four, we talked about opportunity for ministry. And this is an excellent, awesome opportunity for ministry. Invite somebody. Some folk need to know that church folk aren't just stale like day old bread, you know, that we know how to have a good time. We can laugh, and some of y'all can even dance. Now, I'm not in that number. Amen. But we want to let the world know that there is joy in Jesus. How many of you know that? Come on, you know that. There is joy in Jesus. Amen. It's not a pity party. It's not a time to be sad. It's a time to give God the praise. All right. Well, I want to talk this morning about the family. And I want to call your attention this morning to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 19 through 21. Amen. And there you will find these words. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Amen. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning, and I want to focus my attention this morning on those folk who are single. There's some folk in the church who are single, and somehow whenever we start talking about family and family day, they feel left out. They feel like they are excluded. Amen. But I want to let our single folk know that you too have been commissioned, you ought to be committed, and you ought to be content. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, ushers. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that it would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the church say amen. 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 Adam and Eve messed up in paradise, and their first son murdered their second son. Noah got drunk and naked in front of one of his sons. Abraham lied about his wife Sarah being his sister, allowing other men to walk off with her two times, and had a child by his wife's maid Hagar at his wife's insistence. Job a contemporary of Abraham, the epitome of faith, yet married to a woman who told him to curse God and die. Jacob, the pathological deceiver, married Rachel, the kleptomaniac. Reuben, Jacob's eldest, slept with his father's mistress. Moses had a temper problem. His sister Miriam had a jealousy problem. And their brother Aaron had a weakness problem. Samson, a judge in Israel, put Arnold Schwarzenegger to shame strength-wise, but he was weak when it came to the sisters. Eli, the priest, raised two sons that extorted money from people in the tabernacle. God was patient with Eli for years, asking him to deal with his sons, but Eli remained complacent, forcing God to remove Eli's family from being priest, replaced that family with Samuel, who goes on to raise a family just like Eli's. King David had multiple wives, a son from one marriage, raped his half-sister from another marriage, another son murdered that rapist, and a third son tried to take David's throne from him. Another of David's sons, King Solomon, apparently spent the middle part of his life as a sex addict. Even many of the prophets struggled with broken families. Why do I bring up these familiar family failures from the Bible? Because it highlights God's willingness to work with imperfect families. I hate to state the obvious, but here at Pleasant Hill, we have struggling families, we have stressed families, and we have good families working to be better families. But guess what? We don't have any perfect families. Neither does any other church. Perfect families like perfect people just don't exist. I don't say that to motivate you to go out and be satisfied with a dysfunctional family life. I say it rather to give you hope. Tell your neighbor there's hope. Because one of the reasons a lot of people give up on improving their family life is that they lose hope. They throw up their hands and say, "What's the use? There's nothing I can do to make things better." Well, I've come by to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. People end up going around in self-destructive circles because they believe the devil's lie that you can't change. My brothers and sisters, you can improve your family even if you're single, because with God's help, you can improve you. Do I have any witnesses this morning? If you're married, you can improve your marriage. If you're a parent or grandparent, or you have problems with your siblings or your in-laws, whatever, all of these relationships can be improved with God's help. With God. With God, there is always hope. That ought to be good news for somebody today. And so as I talk to the single persons, and yes, you are family, I want you to understand, first of all, I think many of you are already aware of the statistics that there are over 80 million Americans, single adults. That's 40% of the population. Singles comprise those who have never been married, those who have no plans to marry, those who long to be married, those who were married and are now divorced, separated, or widowed. There are all kinds of reasons as to why some people are single. Amen. I never will forget a pastor, and I'm not going to call his name, but there was this pastor who had problems with Pastor Garner being a single pastor. He had problems with it. He just couldn't wrap his mind around it until his wife left him. Amen. And then he wanted to be friendly, you know. But there are all kinds of reasons why people choose to be single. And for those of you who are single and you want to be married, guess what? There's hope for you. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Amen. Marriage is a wonderful thing. Marriage is honorable. Marriage is an institution ordained by God. But can I burst somebody's bubble here today? It ain't for everybody. Some folk, it took 2 and 3 marriages, failed marriages, to realize it ain't for everybody. Do I have any witnesses here today? I've got at least one witness. I've had some folk, amen, who have had to come to Pastor Garner and repent because after getting married, they found out, amen, it's more to it than meets the eye. But again, I state for you that marriage is a wonderful thing. But let me tell you that if you're single and whatever your future holds for you, that's not the focus I want to focus on today. I want to focus on where you are right now. Today is given us by him to whom days belong. We have the power to use it as we please. We compass our salvation or our damnation within it. We can travel 24 hours of time, nearer to heaven or nearer to hell. We are responsible for its proper use. I'm talking about today. How important that we do the proper work of today in the sphere of today. That man is blessed who at the close of his day can look upon his finished work and anticipate tomorrow as bringing nothing but the things which legitimately belong to it. Today, God speaks to us in his word that we harden not our hearts. Today is the day of salvation. All duties, all privileges, all trials, all joys, all sorrows, in one word, everything we have today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not. Only today is ours, and only in today do we hold all our possessions. So if your desire is to be married one day, nudge that neighbor and tell him to keep trusting God, and he will provide a suitable mate for you. If you are divorced, separated, or widowed, you too keep on trusting God. It may or may not be in his will for you to remarry. But let's not focus on the past, and let's not hurry toward the future. Let's deal with today. The Spirit of God would have you to know, my brothers and sisters, that if you are single, you have still been commissioned. You can and you ought to be committed. And if you're going to please God, you better learn how to be content. Amen. Amen. And then remember this, Jesus was single. I don't care what those folk up in Broadway and Hollywood say. You know, they come up with all these movies, and some of them suggest that Jesus was secretly married and he secretly had children and all of that. No, how many of you know the Bible is right? Something else has to be wrong. And then a lot of folk think that to be single means that you are more unfulfilled than married people. But I've come by to tell you today that in spite of what some may say or think, marriage is not the basis for a fulfilled life. Fulfillment can only come through a close relationship with Jesus Christ. I ought to have one or two witnesses right there. There are married people who will agree with us that marriage does not carry with it a guarantee to happiness or fulfillment. The divorce rate tells us that. You ain't got to say nothing. Amen. Some people think that marriage will solve all of the problems of singleness. But I have to tell you that ain't true either. Amen. Because marriage brings with it some problems of its own. Just ask the folk who've been married 2 or 3 or 4 times. Somebody said that an omelet is only as good as the eggs used to make it. Amen. You ever cracked open some eggs and you put one, cracked one, it was a good egg, and then you cracked that other one and it had blood in it or something was wrong with it, and that just messed the whole thing up. Well, it's the same way with marriage. Amen. If you go in bad as a single person, then you're going to mess it up. So you've got to be willing and understand that marriage has its own set of unique complications, just as being single does. Chances are, amen, you will mess it up. I mean, if you have trouble managing your own money as a single person, What makes you think you're going to become a financial wizard just by getting married? Do I have a witness today? There's another myth out there that marriage is God's highest calling for men and women. The Bible, however, does not teach that marriage is man's highest calling. God's highest calling for humanity is Christ-likeness. God ultimately wants us to be like Jesus. That's why Paul said that he is conforming us into the image of his dear son. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? Every trial that I go through is just God trying to get me to be like Jesus. Every blessing that I get is just God trying to get me to be like Jesus. And that's why Paul was able to say that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And then finally, some folk think that if you're single, you're promiscuous. Now, it's true that some folk are promiscuous. But guess what? So are some married folk. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. But singles, I wanna leave you with this, and I hope you get it, that even though you're single, God has work for you to do. Even though you're single, God has commissioned you, and you ought not be sitting around waiting on a husband or waiting on a wife before you get busy doing the Lord's work. Is there anybody here who understands that God will bless you better if you get busy doing what he wants? If you'll focus, see, a whole lot of singles spend all of their time and money, amen, in the club and dressing up and eyelashes and all kind of stuff, amen, trying to catch that right somebody. But is there anybody here who knows that if you're going to get the right somebody, you better get in a relationship with God, and you better allow the Holy Spirit to indwell your being, and the Holy Spirit will show you. Yeah, you see them coming. They look good. They smell good. Look like they got a little money in their pockets. But see, what the devil won't show you is that they crazy as you don't know what. But when you've got the Holy Ghost, oh, come on, somebody, the Holy Ghost will point them out to you before they even get to you. Talking about, can I get the digits? Can I get your number? And some of them, when you got the Holy Ghost said, no, you can't get these digits. You can't get this number. Let me give you another number, 238-1779. That's the number of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. You meet me over there on Sunday, and we can work this thing out. Give him praise, somebody. You need to understand that Adam was the first adult single. God placed him, look at it, in a lovely garden, provided him with meaningful activity, gave him the privilege of divine companionship, but the Bible says something was missing. Human relationship. It is not good that man should be alone. That's what God said. But please note that God did not say it is not good for a man to be single. There's a difference between being single and being alone. The word alone here has three foundational definitions. And based upon those definitions, what God was telling Adam is that it's not good for man to be exclusive. It's not good for man to be isolated. And it's not good for man to be in a solitary state. Genesis 2:18 has been misapplied by some to teach that it is God's will for everyone to get married. The verse has been used against singleness as a lifestyle and to pressure. Y'all give me some water. Y'all just let the pastor choke to death. Thank you, Minister Wilson. Amen. Amen. It's been misapplied to teach folk that everybody ought to be married. The verse has been used against singleness as a lifestyle and to pressure men and women to marry. After all, folks says, the Bible says, it's not good for a man or woman to be alone. They imply that a man or woman who chooses not to marry is somehow out of the will of God. But before Eve was created, walk with me, walk with me. Before Eve was created, Adam was alone in a way that no other human being has ever been alone. Are y'all with me this morning? He was alone in the sense that he was the only human being on the face of the earth. The birds had other birds. The monkeys had other monkeys. Y'all remember, amen, that preacher, he said that time I was on vacation and this came up and I laughed in the swimming pool thinking about it. I was on vacation that time and the associate that I left in charge stood up here and said, one monkey don't stop no show. Amen. And I had five or six members calling me on the island saying, yeah, Reverend said that one monkey don't stop no show. And they thought it was so funny till I got back and explained what that really meant. Amen. I said, do you know why that ain't funny? Because when somebody says one monkey don't stop no show, the implication is that there are other monkeys. So in a real sense, he wasn't just calling me a monkey. All right. Y'all, I done got all off my sermon. Hallelujah. Bless his name. But Adam was alone in the sense that nobody else has ever been alone. Amen. Even in your single state, God has commissioned you to do a work. Don't ever think that just because you're single, the Lord can't use you. Where are my single folk in the house? Just lift your hand if you're single. Amen. 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 Y'all already know God can use you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Tell that neighbor you ain't waiting on no sugar daddy. You ain't waiting on nobody. Amen. Before you step out there and let God use you. You can do the work and the will of God. Y'all cut it up back there. Cut it out. Amen. Just as you are. Look at Matthew. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Remember what Jesus said? He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When he gave the Great Commission, he didn't just give it to married folk. He gave it to whosoever will. Our text reinforces this because Paul tells Timothy that a major part of preparation for service has to do with godly living. Look at it again, 2 Timothy 2 and 19. He says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. It doesn't matter if you're married or single. The one thing that God requires is right living. If you're single, God is looking for you to be truly single. I'm going to leave that right there. Amen. Whether married or single, the servant of Christ must flee sexual immorality, whatever that sexual immorality may be. Because Paul said every sin, let me hear y'all say every sin, that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which lives in you, and you are not your own, but were bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. God has commissioned single folk to do his work and to do his will. And you need to note here that whatever else a vessel is, because in verse 21 of our text, it says, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And you need to note here that whatever else a vessel is, it is a container. Do y'all realize as you sit in this church this morning that you are a vessel? And whatever else a vessel is, it's a container. And the focus of a vessel is never on the vessel, but the focus is always on what's in the vessel. Because if you love Coke like I love Coca-Cola, you don't care if it's in a plastic bottle. You don't care if it's in a tin can, aluminum can. You don't care if it's in a paper cup. Because what's important is not the vessel, but it's what's in the vessel. Oh, I'm talking to somebody today. Amen. Amen. Single and married alike, I've come by to remind you that God commissions vessels. And Paul tells Timothy that if the vessel will sanctify itself, God can use it. Well, let me call on some witnesses. Y'all remember Joseph, don't you? Down in Egypt, in Potiphar's house, a single brother sold into slavery by his brothers. He ended up as a single man being second in command in Egypt. God used him to save his family. You remember Elijah, don't you? A single man. He was a bold and dedicated prophet of God who was bold enough to stare down Ahab and his prophets. I know you remember Daniel, a governmental leader during Israel's exile in Babylon. Single men sanctified and commissioned to do the work of God. But Pastor, don't leave the sisters out. Look at Hagar, a single mother. She and her child were taken care of by the Lord. Look at Naomi, a resourceful widow who followed the Lord and cared for her daughter-in-law. Look at Ruth, who showed great faith, courage, loyalty, and as an adult single. So God does commission singles, but not only that, he calls on all of us, single and married alike, to be committed, to be committed. Nudge your neighbor and tell him you got to be committed. You see, the single Christian really doesn't have an excuse not to be committed to the Lord. Paul makes it clear that singleness can be a gift from God. Paul says that a married person is concerned about serving God. We got some echo, Brother Lot. Is concerned about serving God and pleasing a spouse. Whereas an unmarried person can develop a deep relationship with God because they have fewer distractions. They don't have to worry about the honeydews. Amen, amen. I think it was Deacon Phillips told me he run everything in his house. He said he run the vacuum, he run, amen, the washer, he run the dryer. All right, but see, when you're single, you ain't got to worry about the honeydews. That ought to give you more time to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. And so the single individual, unless they have children, is far less encumbered than the man or woman with the family to look after. Again, don't get me wrong. Marriage is honorable. Marriage is wonderful. Marriage, amen. I tell couples that are about to get married, I tell them that you are about to enter in the best, the greatest relationship that two humans can have on planet Earth. If you do it right, if you do it with God. But again, that doesn't mean it's for everybody. It's not God's will for everybody. So if you're single, don't run around having a pity party because you don't feel that you have a sense of purpose. I dare you to purpose in your heart to do the Lord's will. I dare you to commit to service in the church. I dare you to commit to visiting the sick and reaching out to the hurting. Jesus, y'all, was our perfect example. He was a single man, but whenever somebody tried to get him entangled with the world's affairs, he would quickly tell them, I didn't come for that. I've come to do the will of my Father. So Christian singles should commit themselves to Bible study. Christian singles should commit themselves to prayer. Christian singles should commit themselves to the worship and praise of a mighty God. Sometimes being single can mean having a little more money, amen, than somebody else. If that's the case,